Okay.
Right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Across the fluted plain, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, the Council of Elders show. Please stand by for news and information that you can use. Get a pen and paper. This is Oscar speaking, and we're about to get the show started. This is going to be an absolutely interesting show today. Now, it's always been said that retirement is when we stop living at work and start working at living. So if you haven't started working at living, stand by and we're going to teach you how to do just that. Mr. Jansen Brooks will introduce our guest. Mr. Brooks, welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Council of Elders call-in talk show. This is Saturday, June 26th of the year 2021, and we have an exciting show today with a business entrepreneur who's going to enlighten us on how that we can start a business or maintain a business. So, again, for the new listeners, let me just give you the purpose of the Council of Elders. We are a group of elders who have a platform for giving advice to younger people, advice and life experience that they can navigate successfully through life, deal with issues, and avoid some of the pitfalls that can affect everyone. The concept is based historically on African culture, where elders in the community had council members to help guide tribe members, settle disputes, and encourage young people. Young people are especially invited to call us and call in today with questions or issues. Our dream is to have a Council of Elders group or organization in every community in America, and for the Council of Elders to be known about in the community so that people could have an opportunity to get advice from elders about their concerns. But it first starts with a Council of Elders, single Council of Elders. And so we have started a Council of Elders here in Sacramento, California. And we are now going to our first community center here in Sacramento, talking to the kids, encouraging them, and helping out the community center managers in ways that we can. Also, we'd like to be available for young adults. Sometimes they need help on how to raise kids, how to get along in their careers, their marriages, et cetera. Moving forward, this is an effort to bridge the gap between young people and elders. The younger generation today and the older generation should start to merge. The Council of Elders is an effort to do so. And today we have a special guest, Michael Harris. Michael Harris owns a transport company, Triple Platinum Transport, which is a courier service that he started. And so, Michael, I'd like to welcome you to the Council of Elders call-in show.
Good morning, Mr. Brooks, and thanks for having me on your show, sir.
Yes, Michael, I know you're a busy man, and I'm just so happy that you could take the time today to come in and share with us about yourself and your business. Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Oh, okay, be happy to. I grew up in a small town in Alabama, Aliceville, Alabama, and I started my little work career as working in a grocery store, and I worked throughout high school. Graduated from high school, left, moved to Texas, then I end up here in California. I started out actually doing as a diesel mechanic, working on heavy equipment and farm equipment, that type stuff. So I actually, like I say, started out, you know, like everybody else, you got a dream to pursue, and I figured that I need to move or graduate from Alabama to see some things and to do some things, and it paid off. So, and then I came here to California, and I went into aerospace. Actually, I went where I retired from, actually in August of last year. I worked that for 12 years, making product for Boeing, Rolls-Royce, military F-22 fighters, and that type of stuff. And I, during my 12 years of working there, I figured it was going to be a day that I was going to want to get up, and I wasn't going to want to go do that every day for somebody else. So I figured I would put some time in and get myself together and do for myself. So,
oh, okay.
This is okay. Where we are today.
Right, right, right. And so tell us a little bit about how long were you thinking about going into the courier business before you actually started with it?
It took me roughly, I say, the last 3 years of my employment, I was trying to base it, put a base together, like I say, because I wanted to go out early, you know, I wanted to do that 62 thing and be out and be on my own. But I, 3 years prior up to my retirement, I thought of, you know, I, there were several things that I had looked into. You know, I thought about restaurant, just specifying in what they call like a turkey house, or just make nothing but turkey, just cook turkey only, because I changed my diet, and there's a lot of people getting into it now for health reasons. But I thought about that, and then I said, well, you know, there's too many right now. There's so many different food industries, and it just becomes one of those things that, you know, if you don't have a product that's going to be good, you got to have to, you know, work harder than you intend. And actually, I sit down with my son, and I ask him, I say, you know what, man, I'm going to retire. So what do you think we could do as a father-son that would be successful? And he had worked in for FedEx and that type of thing, had worked into that field and saw freight has to move. So he said, well, you know, why don't you give it a shot? Let's try and do courier service, you know, because there's so much freight now that these big, you know, UPS can't do it all, you know, Yellow Freight, all those big freight companies has to have somebody that will be able to help them or assist them in delivering. So at that time, I started noticing more and more that it was more Sprinter vans on, you know, like Amazon had all these vans and what have you. But I started noticing that there were more vans and there was more smaller vehicles. And then when you go downtown to your bigger cities, you see it's so congested, all the big trucks are not comfortable in delivering anymore because things are built up. So I went in and I started looking into it. And I basically just sit there, man, and I thought, you know, everything I do, I include God first. I put God first. And you know, and I have to ask him to show me the vision or show me where it is that, you know, I'm going or I'm stepping out, I'm going to return, I'm stepping out on faith. That's what that was the whole general idea. I knew I can't live on Social Security, but I'm stepping out on faith. So I had asked God to generate my path. And he did. And so when I retired, right before I retired, I had started working on the paperwork, which is a necessity. You know, I got my LLC, everything drawn up, and I had to, get DOT, Department of Transportation. I had to get the CA number. I had to get EIN numbers, all this stuff to be legit. You know, I didn't want to just start out here and go into something that I'm going to be a failure. So you have to get your groundwork in first, which is going to require whatever permits you need, whatever, you know, numbers that you need, because, you know, the thing is, if somebody else got them, you can get them too. That was a way for somebody else. So I figured it. I got in on the ground floor of doing that, that I would have all that under me. I would, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about somebody taking, saying, well, hey, you know what, you don't have this, so you can't do it. So I went ahead and I got all the technicality stuff done. And then, you know, after you get your vehicles, then now you got to require on the average a million, the minimum is $1 million coverage insurance. So I went ahead and I set up, I started out with one vehicle and I started, I set it, got it set up, you know, and I continued to work as all this was going on, but I was getting the path laid out. So I got the one vehicle started and I got it insured, and, you know, and a lot of that I'm doing money out of my pocket because the business hadn't generated. So all the cost was in my pocket, but, you know, I still had a plan. You know, you still had a plan. That's the main key. You got to have a plan. So I went ahead and I got the van, I got all my numbers, and I got everything staked. So my wife, my son's driving. You know, I went out and I got a contract. But here's the key. Right before I got ready to retire, my job wanted me to stay for additional time. And I was ready to go, and I say, well, you know, I got a plan. I'm ready to go. And they goes, well, you know what? If you stay 4 months with us, you know, you tell me what it would take, money-wise or whatever. You tell me what it would take, because I'd learned the whole plant, and, you know, I could do every job in the plant. So they say, well, tell me what it would take to keep you here for another 4 months. So I said, okay, I thought about it. So I said, well, okay, money's going to be okay, but I need something more substantial. So the company, I went back to them, and I said, you know what, I'm going to stay, but I need to gain the contract with the company. I need to be able to deliver and pick up, you know, just like the couriers are coming in here to do. I need to be able to do that. So they awarded that to me. They awarded the contract to me. That was my first contract that I got. And I went out and I generated more. But, yeah, that was the first contract.
Yeah, so, Mike, now tell us a little bit about what you do on a daily basis. I understand you have some your family members and some other employees working with you. On a daily basis, tell us a little bit about your operations.
Okay, I got 4 different agencies that I pick up and deliver for. Like I said, I started with one van. Now I have 2 vans. I have 2 stake bed trucks, or 2 flat, whatever, however you call them. But they call them stake trucks. And what we do is we do a lot of medical supply deliveries, and that requires that you have a enclosed vehicle, and, you know, you can't have an open vehicle when you're transporting medical supplies. So it has to be enclosed, whether it be a car, whether it be an SUV or what have you. But I got the 2 vans that does that lightweight type stuff, you know, the boxes, delivering routes, doing that type stuff. And the 2 stake bed trucks, we haul steel, we haul anything, you know, cardboard, whatever you need that's required, a 14-foot open vehicle, we do it. So, you know, my days normally starts at in the morning. Some days they're 5 o'clock, some days they're 7, but mostly I try to be gone by 5 o'clock. And in the run of a day, each vehicle probably have, you know, sometimes it's 6 to 10, or you get a route that you do a whole route for a whole day, you know, but it still consists of 8 hours. But I basically works myself sometimes 10, 12 hours, whatever it takes to get it done, you know. So we're constantly moving freight is what we do.
Oh, okay, okay. So how did you get the remaining contracts? I know you got the first one through your job, but how did you get other contracts in addition to that?
Well, what I did, I made up, I went out and I ordered business cards with a business name on it and phone number and that type of stuff. I made flyers with the business name on it and, you know, pictures of, you know, like the big hookers that we have. And I went out and I went to manufacture different places. I just went out and I started passing out business cards, or I'd go to a place, leave business cards on boards and, you know, at different facilities or what have you, or, you know, I would just leave flyers on certain cars and, you know, in manufacturer parking lots or whatever, you know. And I did that, you know, roughly, like I said, maybe a good six months or what have you. And I had another friend that was doing this, and he was telling me, hey, I'm on with this company over here, and if you know, they're going to be bringing some people in, and if you want to give it a shot, you know, you could come, or here's the number, you can call them and talk to them. And so I did that as well. And so that kind of like gave me hope after I went on, you know, the friend, you know, telling me about that they were going to be bringing people aboard. So I went on the hope, but I was still, you know, like I said, I was still doing my own thing. I was still passing out, still trying to network, you know, do different things and to see what could happen, you know, word of mouth, you know, going to different churches and giving them flyers and cars and stuff like that. And then it just took off from there, you know. So it's not now, you know, I have people, I have a lot of people calling me. I have guys that does contractors that does, you know, room, you know, he want to take a truck. I take and leave him a truck and he loaded and then we unloaded, you know, but it sit on his job site. And so it just started up. And then like, then after that, you know, he goes, hey, I got this job. If you guys want to come back and do a cleanup, it's more money. Okay, come on. So I just started, like I said, just word of mouth. And then you get around certain people and you know, you talk business. You know, a lot of people probably got sick of me talking business, but that's what I'm in. That's what I'm doing. That's what I do. So, you know, I had to promote myself. I invested in myself. So I had to build myself and I had to make myself work. So now I work harder than I did when I was working at GK and Aerospace, but the rituals comes to me. It don't go to me and him and a middleman. It comes to me. So now, you know, I'm in the driver's seat, but I still have to work harder than I did before, you know.
Right, right. Let me just make a quick announcement, Mike, to the folks that are listening. You're listening to the Council of Elders call-in talk show Saturday mornings. Our guest today is Mr. Michael Harris, the owner of Triple Platinum Transport. And Michael is giving us some very good information. Maybe somebody's out there that might want to do this kind of work. I understand it's an up and coming thing. So if you have a pen and paper, listen, take notes. Later you can you know, go to Google and just find out more. Yeah. So Michael, on a day to day basis, you deliver various kinds of transport, medical supplies, steel. Now, as far as your future is concerned, what are the things that you're hoping to levels that you're hoping to get to?
Well, you know, we always look at the dream vacations and the this and the that. You know, I mean, you know, again, I'm blessed, and I think I thank God for the time I have. And like I say, I'm still at an age now whereas I still got, I feel that I got life ahead of me. I got time ahead of me, but I want to see this thing, you know. I got grandchildren. I got two daughters and two sons, and you know, I want to see them get involved. I want to see them run things. I want to be the one to sit back and just watch it grow, you know. I also, you know, like you say, you take and you start something and you build something and you look at the growth. You have to make decisions. You have to make changes. A lot of times we make a decision that doesn't really work for the business, you know, whether it be, you know, you might hire a family member and, you know, they might call you uncle all day long, but then at the end of the day, when you get ready to send them on to do that job, you know, first thing you got to mention to them, hey, first safety's first. You got to make sure that you go out there and you work safe. You look around, you check your vehicle, so you got to initiate that. So this is what's going to build your ground, because if those people don't work safe, then now you're going to have people always in the emergency room. Now you got to work harder than you did before you brought them in, you know. And then
let me just interrupt for just a quick second. And if anyone is listening right now and you like have a question or comment for Michael Harris, you can press the number 1 on your phone, and we will give you a chance to ask Michael a question or comment. So if you have a question or comment, press the number 1 on your phone, and you can make a question or comment. Thank you. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. No problem. And from that point, you know, you got to look at the safety part. Then you got to look at you're transporting people's stuff. And our logo is triple platinum. That means we're higher. We're all the way up there. We're 3 as opposed to 1. You know. So we got to get their stuff in a timely manner. We got to get their stuff there without damaging the goods. You know, it's a whole those things. And these things are what makes your business. This is what makes you be able to sit back and then say, like you said, where I want to go with this thing. I want to go to the point. Maybe where I got 20, 30 vehicles. But then at the same time, I want other people to see that this is a growing industry that's available to you, providing that you go, you know, do your groundwork. Go in first with your groundwork. Get your stuff right. Because if you don't pay your taxes, that's the biggest key. Everybody go in, we make all this money, and then we forget about our taxes. But if you don't pay your taxes, or if you don't get your ducks in a row, as they say, then you're going to be in a world of trouble. You're going to be out of business before you get started. So, Mr. you know, Mr. Brooks, these are the things that you have to look at.
Mr. Brooks, we have a caller.
Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Caller 3747. You're live on the Council of Elders show.
God bless you this morning. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
God bless you this morning. Yeah, God bless you, Mr. Brooks. It's Ron Gilmore calling from Sacramento here. And Mr. Harris, I've thoroughly enjoyed your testimony. I'll use it that way. I just enjoy the fact that you say you sought God first before stepping out. And oftentimes we miss that key point to seek God. He said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct our paths. And
right.
I was listening to say when you were getting ready to retire and they asked you to stay that extra 4 months. And I just see God in the mix there. He had a plan. And that was your first contract when you were speaking of that. And I thought, wow, it's just wonderful to see how he works if we'll wait on him. And
yep.
I'm just so excited about how things are going, how things are building for you, and what you're sharing, because you're sharing key points. Just the fact, pay your taxes. So many people get in trouble. not having that or not being aware of what's necessary in regards to taking care of the finances in a business, the fact of safety and all the things that you've mentioned, and certainly looking at a legacy for your family. So bless you, sir. I really am enjoying you. Just continue on. You're giving good, solid information for many of us out here as we're listening to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate your comment as well. That just helped me grow more, you know, because when somebody, you know, sometimes people say things, it don't always work out, but take the good out of what they say and work with that and run with that, you know, and if something don't pertain to what you're doing, let it go. So I appreciate your comment as well, sir.
Certainly. Continue on.
Okay, Michael, you touched on something that is near and dear to my heart and members of the council elders' heart, too, when you talked about your kids and your grandkids. And, you know, we're trying to promote ideas that generate generational wealth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look down the road one day, whether you're in this life or the next life, and see your grandkids, great-grandkids, they can be eating on something that you started now. So I want to commend you for, you know, having that long view, that you're not just looking at this for yourself, but you're hoping that your children and grandchildren maybe can get involved. And after you set it up, you know, all they had to do is just come in and take over, you know. So I commend you for that.
All right, thank you, sir. Yes, sir. That's what you have to look at. And sometimes, you know, our middle-aged people, you know, when I say middle-aged, you know, I'm 64. So, but when I say middle-aged, I'm 40, 35, 50 or whatever. That is the time that you need to start working and preparing stuff for yourself down the road. Because people be like, okay, well, you think half of your life expectancy ain't 50, you know, but if you start, you know, say 35, 40. I've had a couple of businesses along the way. I did a car hauling business, and I had a repair shop that I worked in the 80s. And then, you know, like I said, then things move on, and then I had a car hauling business. But this building, you know, like third time is the charm, this is it. You know, I ain't got no more chances. I mean, I'm on this, and I got to be focused on it. And a lot of times, like I say, it's not going to be always a good decision, but then you got to be fair about it and make the right decision. Because, you know, it's like, you know, even, you know, my wife does all the bookkeeping, and she does all the billing and everything. But even we don't see eye to eye, but we still make it right. You know what I'm saying? But it's business. But at the end of the day, she's my wife, and you know, I am, you know, I commend her for the work that she does. So, you know, it's a whole lot to be involved. But the thing is, we got to get our middle-aged people into it, because the only way you stand when you start something and you stand on it, if you believe in it, it'll come to happen. And you
Michael,
know, and that's the, yes, sir.
Michael, this is Oscar. Two things come to mind as you're talking. I'm the broadcast engineer, Oscar Bassent.
Yes, sir.
First one is, this seems to be a young man's profession, based upon the fact that there's a lot of loading, lifting, boxing, and carrying, and drop-off. The second thing that comes to mind is that you had to do your legwork. Prior planning prevents piss poor performance is what I used to hear. So it sounds
right.
Like there was an initial outlay of capital for your business. So could you give us an idea of roughly what it cost you to set the business up?
Yeah, just to piggyback on what you're saying, with the open trucks, they're usually loaded, forklift, load and unload, you know. And so it doesn't really require a lot, but the other stuff, boxes, this and that, lifting, yeah, that requires some strength. And it is a young man. But what I started out with $20,000. And $20,000 is not a lot of money, but when you can do a lot of this stuff yourself, like the work, LLC and all that, you can sit down and follow the guideline, do that yourself. But total overall, by the time I did that, brought the first vehicle, I think I'm about $50,000 into this. You know, I took monies from my 401k and I invested. I paid taxes on it. I invested what I had left and I put some away. But the total, I'm about $50,000. I paid for all my vehicles, and everything, the upkeep, everything, and then on top of that, I'm putting monies back that I took from my 401k. I'm putting money back into that nest that I took out. So, it's not like I say a whole lot. Most of the stuff that you can do it yourself. You can get a cut or you can save a lot. But
okay,
I
was just curious because many people who, if they don't have an initial capital to go into a business like this, you might have to lay out your plan and go to the bank and get some money. But in your case, you had a hedge, and your first, as somebody already pointed out, your first contract was with God. So that helps tremendously in order to have God in your corner. So I congratulate you, and I'm sure your company will grow and continue to grow because you've done the prior planning. That's the key. So I'm going to back up.
Well, thank you for that compliment as well.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was just saying thank you for that compliment as well. And there are a lot of grants available. I mean, that you can go in and get or you can apply for a small business loan. I mean, just to start, you don't have to start big. And then a lot of the people use cars. A lot of people use, like I say, little SUVs. I mean, if you got a car and you got insurance on it, and at the end of the show, I'll leave my number. I'll give them my number and my email address to the business, and anything that they want to know, I'll be more than happy to answer questions. I'll be in more, any way I can assist or help, because there's a lot out here for everybody. I mean, I'm not trying to just get rich, rich, rich. I'm trying to be comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. And the key is there's a lot out here for new people. And they could take in. All they got to do is just stay focused. That's the number one key. You got to be focused. You can't start the day and say, well, I'm gonna get up and I'm going to go to work today. But then I made so much money yesterday, I'm going to be off tomorrow. You can't do that. You got to stay on it. And that's where, like you say, anything – a dream is a dream, but until you put wings on it to make it fly, it's going to still be that dream. So, there's a lot of room out here, and it's growing. It's a growing industry, and like I say, there's plenty of opportunity.
Right. So, Michael, you were saying that people can actually start with their car. I know I was looking on YouTube. I saw a guy, he had a Toyota Camry, and he said he was delivering medical supplies to doctors and hospitals, and he was doing pretty good financially just doing that. So if someone had a car, for example, and they wanted, what would be the first move they should make, in terms of doing it if they didn't have a lot of money but they had a working vehicle?
Well, normally everybody's going to ask you for a vehicle like a 2000 what up, what I'm saying? So just make sure you're within that range of vehicles that they require or they ask you if you got or whatever. But that's the number one thing. And the number two thing is to make sure you got proper insurance, whether it be just liability, like collision, whatever. Have the bare minimum of whatever you need in a car. But when you go, you're working like as an individual. But when you go to LLC and you step your game up, then you going big time, bigger time. So now that's why they require $1 million coverage, you know, because if you got most of the stuff, you know, I had a box on the truck the other day, and it was just a box, and it was a small box. I'm gonna say a 24 by 24, but it was $32,000. Okay, whoa. So now what if I lose that $32,000? Who's responsible for that $32,000? So that's why I had to have $50,000 cargo insurance plus $1 million coverage. But the insurance might sound a lot, but it's actually cheap. You know, I mean, you got cargo. If you're going to be doing that, cargo insurance is basically cheap. But have the required stuff that you need to go for.
Mr. Brooks, caller on hold.
Yes, sir. Oh, go ahead. Let him in.
Good morning, caller. You're live on the Council of Elders show. Please state your name, where you're calling from. When you ask your question or make your comment, please mute your phone.
Caller 7473, you're live on the Council of Elders show.
Good afternoon, Michael and Jensen. Malcolm Hughes here. Michael, I watched you grow from being a grocery boy to competing with Amazon. And so I see you come a long way, my man. But Mike, what are your biggest, what are your challenges as far as growth, getting bigger? Is it employees? Is it trucks? Is it finding new contracts or something else?
The growth part, you know, you can always add vehicles, but now trying to put drivers in these vehicles are the most difficult thing because people are still relying on that unemployment or that the monies that they can sit at home and make. So on the average, you know, if I'm gonna pay a driver $16-17 an hour, and he can stay home and get unemployment, get about $700-800 a week or whatever they were paying, you know, and then his driving record's got to be good so I can put him on my insurance. That, you know, so I get, you know, you could grow. I mean, I got room for growth, but it's the biggest thing is trying to find people that's willing to work and to be, like you say, dedicated to their job. You know, that's the key.
Mm-hmm. And the funding sources are out there. You got a great banking relationship, so if you needed a new truck, you can go out and get one financed.
That's true. What I did along the way, I applied for credit line in the business name. I paid for all my vehicles cash, and that way I don't have any monthly payments on my vehicles, and I maintain them because of the fact I could go out and get a 2021, but at the same time I'm going to be throwing stuff on them and beat the truck up. So why not buy something that's nice already, pay cash for it, beat it up, and then when you need another one, go buy another one, you know. But yeah, I was able to get credit lines, you know, and now I got gas cards and that type of stuff, which I was just paying cash for gas every week to, you know, and keeping track of it with the mileage, with the vehicles, you know, each individual vehicles. I would run a log for each vehicle every week, and I start $300 off a week with each vehicle. And when it came down, by the time you need more gas, or if it came to the point of you needing more gas, I would again, you know, go to petty cash, give them petty cash and to complete the week. But now that I got gas cards now, so that gives me a cushion to the point of, you know, now I ain't got to absorb all my cash. I can hold my cash, and then I could just once a month shoot it out, you know. And if I got to make maintenance repairs, I can make maintenance repairs, and I'm not. You know, I got Captain One business cards, Navy Federal Credit Union, but I use those as needed. I try not to use those unless I really need to. But and the way things have been, man, God's blessed me, I'm able to write a check and whatever repairs needed, take care of it, you know, mostly tires, but whatever's needed, I can afford to take and fix it, you know, out of my pocket. So.
Mm-hmm. You, and Malcolm, you there, I know that you're a CPA. What advice would you give someone that's listening? I know Michael Harris was talking about taxes and all this. What little basic information could you give someone, Michael? Malcolm Hughes.
Of course, Michael has already covered quite a bit of it. You know, get your bookkeeping in place and get someone who can keep you in compliance with those taxes. And to be quite honest, Michael called me, I don't know if it was a year ago or so, and he was telling me about some tax break that asked me if I was aware of it. So although I'm a CPA, Michael actually came to me and gave me some good advice, I think, on taxes. He seems to have it covered. But one thing I would mention, if people want to get into this, they can partner with other people. You know, Mike might want to partner with someone, or someone in this group might want to partner with someone who has the desire and to get up and go, you know, because the funds might be available to do that. So that's another way to, you know, get involved in the business, is partner with like-minded people.
Oscar here again. Yeah. You're live on the Council of Elders show, Blog Talk Radio Council of Elders show. If you'd like to make a comment, or if you would like to ask a question, please press 1 on your phone. The call-in number is 516-387-1611. Please press 1 on your phone if you'd like to ask a question. We have 18 minutes of showtime, and the busy broadcast minutes are ticking away. Go ahead, Mr. Brooks.
All right. Thank you.
Can I just say something to Mr. Brooks, Mr. Hughes? You know, like, I really appreciate you, man, because, you know, like, we – and it's ironic, man, we all grew up right – we were throwing rocks at each other's house, you know, and we all came out and we found a way to be successful. And Mr. Hughes been in the tax business a long time, and I respect the brother, you know, because of the fact, like I said – he had a, you know, when we were growing up, man, if he had a vision or he had something he talked about, we used to laugh or whatever. But again, that was encouragement enough for him to go out and say, well, you know what, man, that brother laughed at me, but I'm gonna show him now. And sometimes it's all about, you know, people don't take you serious, but then when you go out, then they say, oh yeah, okay, yeah, well, he really meant that, you know. But I take my hat off to you, man, because you know, family wise, everything, man, you always been there, you know. And then I feel I could call you anytime, and you give me that insight, and I really appreciate that. You know, just knowing you're a friend, man, and you there after all these years.
I always.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Malcolm, for your questions and comments there. But Michael, what sort of thing do you do in your spare time?
Well, I got I ride motorcycles, and I got a race car. That's my hobby, drag racing. You know, at the strip, I don't do it on the street, but I go to the racetrack and just to have fun, just to, you know, man. But really, it's so limited now until, you know, because things are picked up. And since this, since the pandemic, see, that's the other thing I meant to say, man, is when I started this business, I started it during the pandemic, like right in the middle, May of 2020, right in the middle of it, right at the beginning of it. You know, like I said, I bought the one vehicle, and my son and my wife, they went out, you know, I had that one little small contract, but they went out and they bought it, and it turned out to be something big. But I started in a pandemic. And again, you know, like I say, you know, I always put God first, because that's who always lead me, who wake me up at 3 a.m. and say, all right, listen here. You know, I mean, it might sound crazy, but it happens. Okay. So, I really, man, right now I'm just enjoying the work, getting the business going into a role to, you know, I do have time, you know, some me time or some family time, but I don't have it like I had it, you know, I'll put it like that, you know. You know, I had more pleasure time when I was working, but now I got more work time than I got pleasure time, so it's all good. Either way, it's a balance.
Right. Michael, I know you have some philosophy on proving yourself. Tell us a little bit about your ideas about that.
Well, the basic thing of proving yourself is you know, when you say that you're going to do something, your word is basically all you got. And you might tell, like I say, again, you know, as I was just saying, you know, when Mr. Hughes had ideas or when he said something, we used to laugh or whatever. Oh, okay, man, you ain't going to do nothing. But then he proved it. He went out and he did what it took to make us wrong or prove us wrong, and he did what he did. So I follow on that same path, Mr. Brooks. I try to, if I tell you that I want to do this or I'm going to do it, I'll sit down and figure out a way to do it. I mean, I'm not looking for a hand-me-down. Even like the PPP, it was so many people that went in and got the PPP that was misrepresented and did different things that they were supposed to, till when the people that actually had businesses apply for it, it was out. There was no money there. You know, so me as a businessman, that was kind of a disappointment because I have all the legitimates. I got the bank accounts. I got the vehicles. I got all the numbers. It didn't happen, but I still moving forward. I'm not waiting on, you know, somebody to give me a handout because I the biggest thing about this thing is I took what I had. I took my resources and I made it work, you know. And so it's a thing of just proving, just saying who you are and being who you are and doing what you do. And that's the you know, that takes you down the road. So that's my
right.
only proof, but the business is the other proof. You know, I said we were going to do it. We did it, you know. So, you know, that's it.
All right. So any advice that you would have for someone that wanted to go into business or in particular the courier business, Michael, just can you think of anything that maybe we haven't talked about?
Well, you know, like the research is number one. You know, I mean, you know, the internet, YouTube, man, they got so much information out there that will help you do things. I mean, a lot of things, you know, we read it, we don't understand it. Well, read it again. You know, read it again. Read it until you understand it, and that's the whole key to it. And with me, I'm willing. You know, I'll leave my number and I'll leave my email address. You know, so everybody that's listening or whoever listening can get it. And you're more welcome to call me because I don't have a problem trying to help you. But you got to first want to help yourself. That's the key. You got to first want to help yourself. But I will be available to give resources out that will be able to help you get started. So, you know, again, like I said, I'll leave my info.
All right. Well, before we get too far, if you leave your info, maybe some way where people could contact you, maybe they might have a question for you.
Yeah. Okay. Like I say, my phone, you can reach me at any time. My phone number is 909-261-6117. That's 909-261-6117. And my email address is tptransport63@gmail.com. tptransport63@gmail.com. And if you leave me a message or you give me a call or leave voicemail or text me or whatever, I'll be more than happy to get back to you. I'll share whatever light I can share with you. I'll grab you and pull you up with me, you know, if that's the way you want to go. But you first got to want to help yourself.
Okay. Well, Michael, certainly thank you for that. You know, there's a lot of things that people don't know that opportunities out there that people may not have heard about, or they may have heard about it, but they just didn't think it would work for them. So it's just good to hear a live person talk about a business that he's in that is open to people all over the country, so that they can start creating income for themselves and opportunities for themselves, and something that can grow, you know, so that, like to say, that kids and grandkids could take over it one day once they get contracts and get it all established. So I commend you for doing that and for coming on the show today and just letting us know about an opportunity that we may not have heard of. So thank you so much for that.
I appreciate that, sir. And then as I grow, man, feel free. I would be more than happy to share my hyacinth with you guys again, you know, as well. So, you know, but, you know, one thing right quick, and I know we're out of time, but we got to stop focusing on 62 on Social Security, okay? That to me, by the time our grandkids get, it ain't going to be. So the thing is we got to start focusing and planning ahead. Start planning now for our young people's plan. Save $20 a week or whatever. Just save something and start planning now, because, like I say, by the time they get 62, it ain't going to be nothing. So that's my word.
Okay, so you're saying that people at whatever age, they should start saving, start accumulating funds, even if it's just $20 a week or whatever they can do, start something.
Yeah, start something. You got to start somewhere. And you know, like I said, it's going to only benefit it's you. You know, that's your start. That's where you're starting from, you know. And that's what, you know, like I said, I was fortunate enough to have a little nest egg. But if you start your own thing, you know, who knows? You might be CEO of a finance company. Who knows? Start it. Get started, you know. Just do something.
Right. You right. Know? And Mike, I understand that you're a deacon at your church.
Yes, I am. I am a deacon at my church. I attend church in Ontario, California, and Mount Zion missionary was not by missionary Baptist no more, but it's Mount Zion Church, and my pastor is Pastor Kennedy, Brian Kennedy. So, you know, if you have a chance, you know, go to YouTube and check out some of our Sunday services. But yeah, I am a deacon, and I've been for some years.
I think I know Brian Kennedy because he used to be a member of my church, St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church in Sacramento, Michael.
Yes, he did. So he's my pastor now, yes. So, but yes, he did.
Man, this is a small world. His family, Kennedy, very long-time family at my church, St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, Sacramento. Pastor Ephraim Williams was a pastor for 40-something years, and Kenneth Reese is the pastor now. But, yeah, Brian Kennedy, I've heard him preach, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
John L. Williams is your youth pastor, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes. 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 They came together. Yes. That's
yeah,
right.
They came with a package from Sacramento. He was the audiovisual guy here in Sacramento for many years before he moved down south with you guys. So it's a very small world. So you make sure tell them that Sacramento says hi.
I sure will. And it'll be a pleasure to tell him, man. I'm going to have him, hopefully, man, I'm going to have him listen to this broadcast today. And, you know, because he's a wise man. Kennedy is a wise man, very wise. So I'm going to have him listen to this broadcast today. And he and I we are pretty good, pretty close.
Oh, that's good. That's, boy, I tell you what, that blew me away, man.
Hey, see, we got more in common than homeboys, right? You know, we got more in common than just being homeboys, yeah. But,
yeah,
Brian,
man,
but
he grew up in St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. I'm sorry, man, what were you going to say?
Oh no, I was just saying, like I said, yeah, man, but see, here's the thing, you never know. Just to show how you never know who people know, and you always got to present yourself as the best foot forward. You know, like I say, your best impression is the best. Your first is the best. And the thing is, you know, I see a lot of people, man, you know, they come out, they do a lot of cussing and stuff, and then you say something, and they go, oh, yeah, that's my pastor. Well, that's your pastor, and you talking like that. But the thing is, you know, this is a respectable show, but I didn't know any, you know, I knew you, but and not anybody else. But then it comes back around, everybody know everybody. So that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. Yeah. So, but yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we only have 4 minutes left, so we're running out of busy broadcast minutes. Anybody else have any questions or comments, please press 1 on your phone. Otherwise, Mr. Brooks, continue.
Yeah, you know something. I'm gonna do something today that I've been kind of dreading to do, is ask people for money. Because up until now, we've been funding the show on our own, and that's cool. But we're at a point now where we would like to go to the next level. You know, we have boots on the ground, actually working with youth now in youth centers, and we recently donated 2 very nice keyboards to a community center. And you know, that costs money. Also, we need funds to finance this particular show, $400 a year. And we'd like to get a nice website. It's about $600. I could build a website myself, but I don't know anything about building websites, and it wouldn't look too nice. And so what I like to do is, anybody has uses Cash App, if you use Cash App and you'd like to send us a donation, I'm going to give you my Cash App code, I guess it is. And it's $, and it's my name, Jansen Brooks. $, JANSSENBROOKS. And my telephone number is 916-667-4974. And I give you my word, if you send us a contribution, I'll use it, and we'll use it for helping kids and to try to spread the word about, you know, the Council of Elders. And this summer we're going to be doing some outreach. We need to get some brochures, and we just need some funding. So it's not a tax deductible because we're not a 501c3 yet, but hopefully pretty soon we will be. But if you'd like to make a contribution, again, you can do it through $, JANSSENBROOKS. Or if you'd like to call me, my telephone number is 916-667-4974. And with that, we'd just like to say thank everybody for calling. Michael, thank you for coming on the show today. You've been a blessing.
Thanks for having me.
And hopefully we'll have you back in the near future. And so
yes,
with that, I'm going to say, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a good show. We thank you for our guests. We thank you for everyone that was listening today. Lord, we just thank you, and we hope that someone was touched and blessed with some information or information or inspiration. And with this, we'd just like to let everybody know that next week we have another guest on, Mr. Anthony McDonald, who started a outfit called Leaders of Men, where he tries to mentor young men into becoming older, successful men. So, Michael, thank you for coming on the show today. We certainly appreciate you. And everybody that called in, thank you. And with that, we will close the show out today and just say, call in next time. The number is 516-387-1611 is the call-in number. And you can also find this show on blogtalkradio.com. When you go there, just put in the Council of Elders, and then scroll down to our logo. This broadcast will be on in probably about 2 or 3 hours from now. All right, everybody.
All right.
I know.